flooding US with fentanyl is part of China's unrestricted welfare. Commentary. Fentanyl, a powerful synthetic opioid, is linked to nearly 100,000 deaths annually in the United States, surpassing the fatality toll of many historical conflicts. On April 17, a significant U.S. congressional hearing was convened to scrutinize the role of the Chinese Communist Party in this burgeoning crisis. Central to the inquiry is whether the CCP's involvement stems from negligence or a deliberate strategy to allow substantial quantities of fentanyl into the United States. During a segment on the program Pinnacle View, independent producer Li Jun discussed the ongoing congressional investigations. The hearings, collectively titled Defending America from the Chinese Communist Party's Political Warfare, suggest a multifaceted strategy by the CCP that extends beyond conventional military engagements. The day prior to the hearings, the U.S. House Select Committee on Strategic Competition between the United States and the Chinese Communist Party released a damning report. It highlighted the CCP's possible engagement in a so-called drug war by facilitating the proliferation of fentanyl in America. Chinese leader Xi Jinping's public statements on the fentanyl issue contrast sharply with the reality depicted in the report, which indicates worsening conditions. The U.S. has gathered alarming evidence that underscores the severity of the issue. The first piece of evidence comes from investigations revealing that the CCP currently provides export subsidies to fentanyl manufacturers, which is quite alarming. While the CCP strictly controls fentanyl domestically, its export policies are lenient, and it even offers subsidies. U.S. investigations found that these subsidies have given businesses more confidence, with exports increasing by more than tenfold, Mr. Li said. Further complicating the situation, when the U.S. approached the CCP to investigate firms suspected of supplying fentanyl precursors, it was discovered that the CCP had forewarned these companies, effectively stymieing U.S. efforts to curb the drug flow. Broader accusations of unrestricted warfare. Mr. Li said that the CCP's tactics represent a form of unrestricted warfare, which encompasses economic strategies such as dumping low-price goods to undermine the U.S. manufacturing sector and espionage activities highlighted by former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. The U.S. has now realized that the CCP has been engaging in unrestricted warfare against the U.S. for more than just a couple of years. Although the CCP appears cooperative on the surface, doing business with the U.S., their internal propaganda paints America as imperialistic. Now, the U.S. is waking up to this reality, and this report is primarily led by Congress, with significant input from the U.S. military, Mr. Li said. Fentanyl, a crisis engineered with startling efficiency. China Affairs specialist and senior commentator Tong Jingyuan spoke on the Pinnacle View program. He emphasized the dangerous potency and accessibility of fentanyl, which surpasses heroin by over 5,000 times in lethality. He outlined several key factors contributing to its widespread abuse. Firstly, the precursors needed to manufacture fentanyl are inexpensive and readily available. Secondly, the equipment required for its synthesis is both cheap and accessible. Thirdly, the production process is technically simple and can be completed in just a few steps. As a result, many drug traffickers in Mexico, with just a couple of rooms and some basic equipment, can use large quantities of fentanyl precursors imported from China to produce tens, hundreds, or even thousands of kilograms of fentanyl and dump it into the U.S., Mr. Tong elaborated. Alarming developments. In 2023, the U.S. Department of Justice indicted four Chinese companies involved in exporting 200 kilograms of raw fentanyl materials. This quantity could potentially yield 50 kilograms of pure fentanyl, enough to threaten the lives of 26 million Americans. Such statistics underscore the grave concern and heightened tensions between the U.S. and China regarding the control and distribution of this deadly drug. Mr. Tong described the CCP's facilitation of fentanyl trafficking to the U.S. via Mexico and other means, including direct shipments in packages or envelopes, as akin to a modern-day opium war, far surpassing the intensity of the opium wars of 1840. The export of fentanyl is definitely a government action by the CCP, and there is substantial evidence. The recent U.S. hearing specifically mentioned that the Chinese government supports the export of fentanyl and its precursors by offering export tax rebates of up to 13%, a deliberate incentive to push more drugs into the U.S. The Chinese government is either a shareholder or holds a controlling position in many of the companies producing fentanyl precursors. Why is there no widespread fentanyl epidemic within China? It is because the CCP can completely control these drugs, Mr. Tong claimed. Government complicity and global consequences. Furthermore, Mr. Tong highlighted a compelling case. In 2018, Ben Westhoff, an award-winning American investigative journalist, traveled to Wuhan, a major hub for fentanyl production in China. After months of research, Mr. Westhoff published a detailed exposé on the production and export chain of fentanyl, from raw materials to finished products destined for Mexico or directly to the U.S. This investigative work raises a critical question: if a single foreign journalist could so clearly delineate China's fentanyl supply chain, how could the CCP, with its vast surveillance resources, be unaware of such activities within its borders? Mr. Tong questioned. The apparent awareness and tacit approval by the CCP of these operations suggest a calculated use of governmental power in what Mr. Tong describes as unrestricted warfare against the U.S. This situation presents not only a direct challenge to U.S. drug enforcement efforts, but also raises broader ethical and geopolitical questions about the role of state-sponsored activities in global drug trafficking. CCP's unceasing drug production. On the program, Mr. Li traced the historical roots of the CCP's involvement with narcotics, beginning with opium production in the Chinese city of Yan'an. This early activity was extensively documented in the Vladimirov Diaries by Pyotr Parfenovich Vladimirov, Moscow's special envoy to China in the 1940s, who detailed how the CCP engaged in the production and sale of opium. Mr. Li highlighted that even after the CCP assumed power, it covertly continued these practices. Further insight was provided by Zhang Yujin, a Chinese historian based in the U.S., who interviewed descendants of individuals from the Xinjiang Production and Construction Corps. These interviews revealed that members were involved in poppy cultivation and opium production, primarily aimed at foreign markets. Although poppy cultivation waned in the 1990s as China pursued membership in the World Trade Organization and sought to improve U.S. relations, a shift towards producing ephedrine, a key ingredient in methamphetamine, was noted. Mr. Li also brought to light a major drug bust in Shenzhen in the early 21st century, where a trafficking ring led by a Hong Kong national was apprehended with 30 tons of methamphetamine, which was then the equivalent of 3 years' worth of global sales. Although the Xinjiang Corps ceased poppy cultivation, their involvement with ephedrine suggests a continued, albeit transformed, engagement in narcotic production. Recent Chinese state media CCTV reports confirm that cultivating ephedrine-yielding plants remains a lucrative venture in Xinjiang, underscoring an ongoing commitment to drug production, according to Mr. Li. Historical context and current implications. Adding to the discussion, Sher Shan, host of the Pinnacle View and senior editor at the Chinese language edition of the Epoch Times, highlighted the origins of the Xinjiang Production and Construction Corps, which evolved from the 359th Brigade led by Wang Zhen, a CCP general and political figure. This brigade, active in the opium trade during the anti-Japanese war, largely avoided combat roles, focusing instead on narcotics. Mr. Sher said during his interviews with former opium producers in China, they had a distinction between two types of opium marketed during the war: southern goods, known for higher quality and price, and Soviet soil, which was cheaper and more abundantly produced in Yan'an. Many drugs initially served medicinal purposes, including opium, cannabis, and cocaine. However, if these substances are exploited for profit, it becomes a different issue. Clearly, the CCP government is intentionally using these substances for international profit, harm, and exploitation, Mr. Sher said. The complex dynamics of the international drug war. Guo Jun, editor-in-chief of the Epoch Times Hong Kong edition, said on Pinnacle View that the war against drugs has always been an international affair, requiring international cooperation. She pointed out that while the U.S. has historically sourced its illicit drugs mainly from South America, this necessitates collaborative efforts with countries like Mexico and Colombia, as well as direct interventions. If these countries do not cooperate, the U.S. must enforce cooperation through methods such as trade embargoes and sanctions against officials in those countries. The U.S. has taken many such measures, all in the effort to combat drugs, Ms. Guo said. Regarding China, Ms. Guo mentioned a key interaction in 2017 when then-President Trump directly addressed the drug issue with Chinese leader Xi, who pledged cooperation. Ms. Guo said that despite this, she believes Beijing continuously facilitated drug sales to the U.S., which significantly contributed to the ensuing trade war. While there are other reasons for the U.S. trade war with the CCP, I believe fentanyl is a significant factor. However, using a trade war to counter the CCP has not been as effective as measures taken against South American countries. Therefore, the U.S. might resort to other methods or more significant measures against the CCP. For instance, it might involve revealing the wealth of high-level CCP officials' families in the U.S., Ms. Guo suggested. Potential groundbreaking intelligence report against the CCP. Ms. Guo pointed out a potentially groundbreaking U.S. intelligence report is underway. Angela Sohn, a spokeswoman for the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, confirmed with The Washington Times on April 10 that they are working on the report. The U.S. intelligence agencies are preparing a report on corruption and hidden wealth among CCP elites, which will be non-confidential and available to the public. The report targets Xi Jinping and other high-ranking officials, including all Central Committee members, Politburo members, Politburo Standing Committee members, and provincial party secretaries. Analysts suggest that this report will be a heavy blow to Beijing once published, said Ms. Guo. The report will not only concern the officials themselves, but may also include their family members, direct and indirect relatives, greatly amplifying its impact. This will strike the CCP on two levels. Firstly, it will further erode public support for the CCP, particularly given its decade-long anti-corruption campaign, which may appear hypocritical if significant undisclosed wealth in the U.S. is revealed. Secondly, this could intensify internal conflicts within the party, as the legitimacy of Xi's anti-corruption crusade could be called into question by the overseas holdings of his officials. By strategically choosing which details to disclose and the timing of such disclosures, the U.S. retains a powerful tool to influence the internal dynamics of the CCP, potentially destabilizing its leadership, Ms. Guo said.